Unin. How are you this morning? Extra loud slurp straight into the mic. Directly into the mic. After the poll yesterday where 65% of you said you didn't mind hearing tea slaps. So there you go. Apologies to the other 35%. All right. It has just struck 1 minute past eight in the AM Greenwich Mean Time. On Friday, the 30th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. It's Friday. Harry, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you, sir?
Morning.
Good, good. And you are the glorious band, The Chosen Few, watching The Bo Show. Breakfast with Bo, formerly, colloquially, The Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club, the BBC. We few, we chosen few. We band of brothers. Now, what is the world talking about today? What is the corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? Let's have a look, shall we? We just jump straight in. All right, so it's a fairly China-heavy day today. Not much Iran. They got bored of Iran. The cabal of editors that act as like the arbiters of truth for you, telling you what is and isn't important. They've decided they're not going to talk much about Iran today. It's China today. Okay, there you go. Capitulation in Beijing and revolt over cancelled elections. All right, so the Financial Times, the FT, says red carpet, Starmer works to heal Xi ties. Yeah, so he's there. He's not there for all that long. I think he's only there for a few days. He's off to Shanghai later, I believe, today. The FT also says companies scoop $22 billion in contracts from Trump's immigration agencies. Yeah, good, I will. There's been many, many companies that made tons and tons of money out of open borders. So I don't care about the good. Good, in fact, anything. Good. Planeteer, pretty evil. And Deloitte benefit. Donor's gravel business reaps $6 billion. ICE outlay doubles since July. So they're spending money on it, trying to get it done. Bannon will be happy. Not going far and deep enough for him or me. All right, what else have we got? The Daily Telegraph. Revolt over cancelled elections. And we've talked about this a number of times, haven't we? The story of various cancelled local elections. And the story is that more and more councillors are resigning in protest over it. Good for them. Good for them. Good for you. So you should be, really. Well, no, but good for you, actually standing on your principles, having a conscience and having like a political backbone and a line in the sand and all that sort of thing. Good for you. Although maybe some of them are doing it cynically because they know they're jumping before they're pushed. Who knows? Bayeux Tapestry arrival could be scuppered by potholes. Yeah, the Bayeux Tapestry. I've studied the Bayeux Tapestry in quite a lot of detail and studied the 11th century. The age of the conquest, the Norman conquest. Lots and lots of, quite a lot of long form content, both on Epochs and on History Bro from me, all about that. There's hours of me talking about pre-conquest, the conquest, the life and career of William and all his successors. Loads, hours and hours of it. But I've studied the Bayeux Tapestry in detail. Quite close detail, but I've never seen it with my own two eyeballs. I would like to. If it comes to Britain, I shall have to make a special effort to go and see it. Okay, what else have we got? Let's move on. The Daily Mail. Daily Mail goes with capitulation in Beijing. That Sir Keir Starmer has capitulated. What a surprise. To be honest, actually, just to cut to the chase and all that, there hasn't been a massive amount of detail of like brand new deals coming out. There's a bit, like there's talk of reduced taxes on whiskies, for example. You know, not a giant thing. Some talk about changing visa rules, obviously to make it easier for Chinese people to come here. There's not that many Brits that are dying to go and live in China. I don't know a single Brit who's it's his life goal to go and live in Hunan province. But of course, loads of them would want to come here. Okay, capitulation in Beijing. Sir Kowtow Starmer. It's quite funny. It's not bad. So Kowtow Starmer gave the go-ahead to China's Nest of Spies embassy. Yeah, remember that? Of course. Then flew 5,000 miles to suck up to them. Yeah. Yesterday, he announced deals. So underwhelming, critics responded. Is that it? Yeah, they'd hoped, you know, some people had hoped that him going there would be like the harbinger or like the final handshake on a whole number of deals that might have been going on behind the scenes for months or years or whatever. No. It's just sort of a vanity project thing, essentially, for him. Or for both of them, actually. Watching videos and reading around it and all the commentary around it, the general consensus is that it's just sort of not much more than an extremely glorified photo op for both men. Of course, Starmer's starstruck by someone like Xi, like an actual titan of socialism, a man far more powerful than him. So, of course, Starmer's awestruck by that. But it's actually in China's interest to be seen. They really want it to be seen to be cozying up to like the more old school, more legit nations of the world, like Great Britain. That's actually something they've wanted for decades and decades and decades, right? To be truly accepted into like the old boys' club, sort of, so to speak. You get it. Both men really want that photo of them shaking hands. But as for big, deep, you know, new deals between them and stuff, despite all the words, there's not really a great deal there yet. I mean, who knows? At the end of the tour, maybe we'll get more. But so far, hasn't been a giant amount. All right, let's see. The Guardian. Stay in cam. The Guardian, nearly lost my breakfast there. Oh, it's so revolting. Starmer opens door to UK visit by Xi as China relationship is reset, quote, reset. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, let's take a minute or two out to talk about the New World Order, shall we? Why not? It's Friday. We've got time. There's this idea, isn't there, of a monopolar world where there's one hyperpower, the United States. Some have described the world after sort of the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and the collapse of the Soviet Union in like 1990-1991, that from then until not too long ago, some might say as far back as the Iraq War, but a period there where it was sort of a monopolar world. There was one hyperpower, the United States. Of course, before that, deep in the Cold War, sort of a bipolar world, you know, two real seats of power, Moscow and Washington. And now that, and before that, right, before World War II, there was, you know, just a multipolar world. There's many, many great powers. Certainly before World War I, many, many great powers. And going back through history, of course. And that now we're moving into a world which is no longer monopolar. It's no longer just the United States is the only great hegemon of the world. But that it's at least a bipolar world again, but with China as the other pole. And that perhaps we're moving, probably are, aren't we? I think, moving into a world where it's just a multipolar world, where right, the Russians, although their economy is like not great, they have still got the world's biggest amount of nukes. They've still got an insane amount of resources, right? They've got a very, very strong political system. So if there was a top tier, it would be the United States and China vying for who is the top dog. They're sort of on some sort of par, aren't they? Although the United States, of course, still has got sort of like the default currency and the biggest military and all that sort of stuff. But it's China and America are the top dogs, right? And then you could almost certainly say Russia. And then there's really like sort of what they call like the middle powers. You know, countries like Germany, France, UK, India, you know, and some might even throw a bunch of other countries that are coming up that might not quite be middle powers yet, but almost certainly will be. Places like maybe Brazil, you know, maybe Indonesia. I'm talking maybe years ahead here. But there's no real reason why Brazil or Indonesia, countries like that, couldn't become sort of firmly mid-tier. I wouldn't say they are yet. It all depends how you measure these things, doesn't it? It all depends how you measure these things. It's all very trite, what I'm saying here. Lots of what I say, people would disagree with, I imagine. They could make arguments against the stuff I'm saying, but anyway. The idea that, like, the sort of top middling countries, countries like, say, Germany or the United Kingdom, that where we'd been very, very, very heavily tied to the United States all throughout the Cold War, and that there's a realignment of that going on. I mean, I think people, I think a lot of the chattering classes, a lot of the papers, people talk about this sort of thing, are overestimating it a bit, in my opinion. For example, you can find editorials and things at the moment after this visit with Starmer and Winnie the Pooh. They'll say, like, the old world order is gone. It's a new world order. There's a realignment of, like, all world powers and things. Not really. Like, a little bit, very slowly. I'll concede that. I'll give you that. But it's not like loads of the world's middling powers are just, like, flipping allegiance wholesale over to China or anything like that. Like, that's not happening, is it? Although if it were, Britain sort of would be leading that charge. But if it is happening, it's happening, like, quite slowly, quite subtly. And, like, you know, I think when you look at the sweep of history, I like to do that. That's my thing. Looking at the sweep of history, I feel like what's happening now, i.e. going from a monopolar world to a bipolar world to a multipolar world, it's not that terrifying or scary or seismic or sort of unthinkable, all those sorts of things. It's just sort of half the course. We go through various cycles of these things. Many times in the past, there's been a time when there's sort of a one hyperpower of the world. Reading a very, very interesting novel. I'm a big fan of Frederick Forsyth, the novelist Frederick Forsyth. And he said something that was very, very interesting, just in one of his novels, but, you know, they're sort of quite highbrow, relatively, novels. They're interesting. He said something about making an observation about the sweep of history, that when the Romans, the Roman Empire, when they were sort of the only hyperpower in the world, the ancient Mediterranean world, and when their power was beginning to be questioned, right, and people, their allies, one way or another, were beginning to desert them and things, beginning to realise their own power, perhaps we don't need Rome, all that sort of thing. Again, a process that played out over hundreds of years, actually. Rome responded to that with, not always, but usually, responded to that with sort of an overwhelming military force, often. We'll just stamp on you if you try and break away from us. We'll stamp on your neck. We'll take some of your cities and kill every man, woman and child. Every man and all the women and children are sold into slavery. That's how the Romans would react to it. Again, not always, but often. When it was the British in the 19th century or 20th century, really, when the empire fell apart, the British responded to it. This is how Frederick Forsyth characterised it. Responded to that with sort of a languid indifference. That's what he said. It was sort of like, oh, you want to leave? Well, okay, do then. You know, that sort of attitude. So they're two ends of the spectrum. How will the United States respond? Right, so far, it's not the Roman style, is it? They're certainly not. They don't, despite all their belligerence, and despite all the saber rattling, and despite all the interventions around the world and things, and despite, you know, all the coercion through things like the IMF and the World Bank and the UN and NATO, all various tools to project America's power and influence around the world. They're not like the Roman Empire, are they? Right? America's biggest detractors can't possibly claim that they truly go around in, like, sort of an ancient world barbaric sense, oppressing people directly like that. But they're, you know, at least under Trump, they're not quite, it isn't really quite a languid indifference, is it, though, either? Right, like, you know, the Maduro raid, for example, or how Trump's dealing with talks about Greenland and things. It's not indifference. So there you go. I just think it's interesting to... Well, it's certainly, I think, it's fascinating, really, to see the way sort of the world order is going. And I think the reality of it, certainly get used to this if you're a Brit, you probably are already used to it, is sort of know your place as a middle power, you know? Because some argue that the middle powers are actually, at least if they club together, things like the most powerful ones, like, say, Germany, France, Britain, or the European Union as a bloc, or the African Union as a bloc. Some of the biggest powers below the main superpowers, if they work together, club together, and if they sort of play their cards right, they can have a big influence and a big say in what the hyperpowers do and how they react and all that sort of thing. And others say, no, that's naive. That's, you know, Beijing and Washington will do whatever they want, basically. And you're just along for the ride. Two ways of looking at it. I mean, there's arguments to be made both ways for that, isn't there? But certainly America, it's fair to say, isn't it? Isn't like, it's absolutely all-time highs of like the 1990s and the early 2000s. Let's say between 1991, the fall of the Soviet Union, and 9/11, that 10 years, the 1990s basically, the United States is all-time high on the stock market of ruling the world. We don't live in that world now, do we? Don't live in that world anymore. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it is a more destabilised world when China, if you look at Taiwan, China, Russia, Ukraine, and the United States all over the place, they'll start acting and doing more things. But they don't care about the UN, really. Like Trump leaving the World Health Organization and other things, other connected organizations of the UN. And, you know, I don't think the United States are going to leave the UN or, you know, leave the IMF or World Bank or stuff. But China and Russia and the United States, and even powers like the United Kingdom, if we really wanted to, just ignore the UN, right? Like in the Falklands. We're like, no, we're doing this. Screw you. So we're moving into a world where, like, the old international rules that were arbitrary and made up, anyway, will matter less and less. And that bigger powers, people start throwing their weight around a bit more dynamic. Get used to it. That's the world we're living in now, isn't it? All right. Right, let's, what else have we got? Sussex pair, quote, handing apt data to Iran regime. So there's a pair, two people in Sussex who are doing espionage on behalf of Iran. Okay, interesting. Wonder what their names are. Oh, they're foreign names. Right, got it. Great, cool. Children's limb surgeon harmed 94 patients. Yeah, that's a terrible story. This is a horrible, terrible story. There was a surgeon at Great Ormond Street, the most famous London children's hospital. A completely, completely foreign dude. Can't remember his name. It's just a completely foreign name. He's a foreigner. He somehow got to be a surgeon. Oh, Yasser Jabbar? And he botched basically a quarter of all his surgeries he did on children. And at least 94 of them badly, really badly. Like, left them in pain forever, needing loads more surgeries, some amputations required after his botched surgery. Horrible, isn't it? Really, really horrible. How on earth, like, doing operations without the parents' consent, not filling in all the right forms, and just being a complete incompetent. Terrible, isn't it? He's fled the country. He's not here anymore. When they say we need to bring doctors and nurses over from the third world because the NHS wouldn't work without them, and yet there are quite a lot of stories, quite a lot of the time, of completely incompetent doctors and nurses. Third world ones, foreign ones that have come over. Again, the whole project of multiculturalism is insane and disastrous and is not a strength, let alone our greatest strength. It's not a strength at all. Even down to the curries. We got the recipes. We don't need them here. We've got the recipes. People who might not know, the word guna has got two meanings. The old meaning just means you're an Arsenal fan. The Gunners, a guna. You support Arsenal Football Club, a North London football club. Zoomers have decided it's got another meaning these days, which I shan't go into on The Breakfast Show. But still, it seems like the Daily Star aren't aware of that one. Or maybe they are. Gooners say, you turnip. Addressing Starmer there. And the headline is, Great Ball of China. Very, very funny pun, isn't it? Great Ball of China. Great Ball of China. Because Starmer gifted Xi a football. It was a football that was used in a Premier League game between Man United and Arsenal the other day. Starmer got it and he's gifted it to Xi, who supports Man United, apparently. Glory Hunter. Although not much of a Glory Hunter. They're crap, aren't they, these days, Man United? As if Xi really supports Man United. Come on. Really? Okay. The Times. The venerable Times. PM vows to build, quote, more sophisticated, quote, relationship with China. What does that really mean? They get to exploit us more. Almost certainly. That's what that means. Their ability to take the mickey out of us on multiple levels will be increased. That's what that means. Almost certainly. Okay. Iranian Guard Corps to be treated as terrorists by UK. Good, yeah. There was a massive... I mentioned this a week or two ago on the Bo Show, if you remember, if you've watched it, where... there was a few months back last year, anti-terrorist cops did swoops all over the country on a whole bunch of different terrorist cells, made a bunch of arrests. And they were all Iranian people, like Iranian nationals, full-blown Iranian nationals. So there's terrorist cells in Britain, including one in Swindon. Do you remember that, Harry? Do you remember that? Was you paying attention at that point? Do you remember? I can't hear you. Still can't hear. Okay, I'll move on from that. But yeah, make the Iranian Guard Corps treat them as terrorists in the UK. Yes, please. Yeah, that would be nice. Britain follows Brussels with law banning Ayatollah's Praetorian Guard after protesters' deaths. There's no downside to that for me. In Bo's Britain, I'd be prescribing loads more organisations and things and people. Loads more. Because I'd put the interests, I'd put the safety of the British natives first. So there'd be loads of organisations that would be banned. Yeah, the Iranian Guard Corps, yeah. Yeah. Why would we want any of those people here, really, under almost any circumstances? How is that in our interest, ever? Okay. The Eye paper. UK set to deport asylum seekers, yeah, right, to war-torn Syria in migrant crackdown. Don't believe it. Don't believe it for a second. It's just an attempt at red meat. Don't believe them. Home Secretary comes out. A Labour Home Secretary. Yeah, we're going to deport more people. There's going to be a crackdown. Sure. Sure there will. Home Office to set up deportation plan despite concerns within government about violence and deteriorating conditions in Syria. Yeah, they won't. Or they'll make a half-assed effort that they know will get beaten in court and not pass any legislation to prevent it getting beaten in court. So they can say, look, we tried all we could. But the judiciary, which we also ultimately control, stopped us. Been playing that game for years and years and years and years. Nonsense. The Eye paper understands Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood wants to push ahead after promising enforced returns. No, she doesn't. Again, lies. Spin, lies. No, she doesn't. She'll say she will. Say that's what she wants to do. Make efforts and moves, knowing that it will never happen, never work. Look at the Rwanda plan as an example. Look, we're trying really hard. We're doing loads of stuff. We're even spending money on it. We're spending loads of political capital and time and energy on it. Oh, it didn't work. And the net result is we've got way more people here now, if anything. That's what they do. That's the plan. It's pretty straightforward. Pretty out there in the open. It's not that sophisticated, is it? It's not that difficult to understand. Asylum reforms have been inspired by hardline Danish policies as ministers seek to tackle small boats crisis and the rise of Reform UK. Yeah, they won't do it, though. Yeah, we love the way the Danish are doing it. We're going to do that. No, you're not. You're not, though, are you? You seek to tackle the small boat crisis. No, you don't. No, you're not. If you wanted to tackle the small boat crisis, you say something like, we're calling a state of emergency. You might not even need to do that, but do that. There's a state of emergency. We're calling in the Royal Navy and we're deploying a few hundred guys from the Royal Marines, 4-2 Commando or something or other, the SBS, to sit in the channel in like small boats of their own, like a cruiser or something, with a bunch of speedboats, with SBS guys, Royal Marine Commandos, and any small dinghy boat that's trying to come across, we tow it back to French waters. Do that for a few weeks or a few months until they get the picture. Or keep a deployment there permanently, semi-permanently. Small boat crisis solved. If the French want to get all out of their pram diplomatically about that, so bring that on. We'll have that discussion. Might have to have a summit in Paris to hash it out, but that's what we're doing in our waters. Small boat crisis solved. But they don't want to do that. They won't do that. They won't dream of doing that. Because they're our enemies. They want us flooded with foreign criminals, essentially. Every single one person that comes across on that one of those boats is by definition a criminal. It's illegal to do that. So you're a criminal if you do that. All right. What's the other thing it says? Middle East ministers raised concerns this week over violent clashes between Syrian forces and rebels and effect on civilians. Yes, there you go, already. Yes, we wanted to put more people to Syria, and immediately they're like, no, you can't, it's a war-torn country. So it'll never happen. All right, The Sun. What slop is The Sun serving up to us today? What sloppy Joe have they got for us? Gang raids Mayer and Rubin's £4 million pad. Why'd you have to say it like that? Right normally. Says Mama Jamma. And her football player husband. When they went away on holiday, burglars broke into their house and stole loads of jewellery and stuff. Happens loads, that. Particularly to footballers, but all sorts of rich and famous people. You know, organised criminals watch their mansion, watch their home, wait till they go on holiday abroad. And rich and famous people obviously spend a lot of time abroad, travelling around. And they're like, right, it's empty. Like in Home Alone, like Joe Pesci in Home Alone. Right, it's empty, we just go in. It'll be filled with expensive things. But that Mayer Jamar, God knows how you pronounce it. Isn't she an insufferable leftist? Isn't she like an insufferable race communist, wokist, open borders, fifth columnist? Am I confusing them with someone else? I think she is, though, so shan't shed a tear for her, no doubt, completely insured jewellery having been stolen. But there's loads of organised crime in this country. There you go. All right, The Mirror. AJ's tears for his friends. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to be sarcastic about that. I've lost my brothers. I mean, I don't like AJ. He's a douchebag. It comes out when he boxed with a Nigerian flag. He's got Nigerian descent. Has made loads of comments about don't shop in white-owned businesses. An anti-white racist. An anti-white racist is what he is. Let's call it what it is. But yeah, it's not nice though, is it, that two of his best mates were killed in that car crash. There you go. The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. Terminally ill mum calls on shameless peers to stop blocking assisted dying law. Sophie's plea, don't snatch hope away from us. So yeah, that's the ongoing story of legislation about assisted dying. I've gone into it before, so I won't again. The Metro, Disdain Cam 1. Gross misconduct ruling upheld. Bus snatch hero sacked. So this is a story, an individual one. The individual stories is weird. But all right, this guy, he was a bus driver. There was a thief. Someone nicked someone's purse. He chased them down and knocked them out. Good. I mean, what's the problem? He was found to have done nothing wrong in terms of actual, like, the law. But yet the company, the bus company, still sacked him for it. There you go. Driver chases raider to retrieve passenger's necklace. Sorry, it's a necklace, not a purse. A necklace. Then knocks thief out when he returns. Police find he used reasonable force, but he still loses job after dispute over who struck first. That's front page news, according to the Metro. There you go. All right. So, we've had a poll. I think I instructed Harry to do a poll around China. So we'll see what the results of that was. Okay. All right. So I wanted it to be about China, and I did think a bit about how exactly to phrase it. You know, like, is it good to have a strategic alliance with China? Is Trump right to rebuke Starmer for getting close to China? And anyway, I decided to make it sort of as personal as possible. We phrased it, do you want closer ties with China? And it's come back 87% no, 6% yes, and 7% not sure. Who are the 6%? Who are you? I want names. No, again, a resounding win for Breakfast with Beau, in complete harmony with my own audience. You are my people. I'm a river of takes to my people. No, great, 87%, absolute resounding win, isn't it? Yeah, why would anyone really want, in the West, in Britain, why would you want closer ties with China? What do we get out of it? How is it good for us in any real way? Right, there's big enough markets closer to us for us to sell things to. We should manufacture and make more things for ourselves, and if not, there's still other places much better and closer and less politically enemies of ours that we can buy from. We don't need to buy and sell things to China, Britain. We don't need to. So beyond that, beyond the economic bit, what else? How else is it in our interest? Like, to have loads and loads of, like, Chinese students here or whatever. It's not, is it? And then politically, the Chinese Communist Party. How is having any tie with them, let alone closer ties, in our interests? Again, thinking broadly, strategically. It's simply not, is it? And I'm glad 87% of you agree with me on that one. All right, let's move on then. Let's have a look at the main websites. Start with the BBC. Trump says it's very dangerous for UK to deal with China. Well, yeah, I agree with the Donald. I mean, it's an interesting use of words, isn't it? Very dangerous. He said that about Canada as well. He said it's very dangerous for Canada to have closer ties with China. Wonder if there's a little bit of veiled language. Like, it's not exactly a threat, is it? Well, it's not a threat directly, but still, an interesting use of words. Dangerous. Okay, two officers to face court-martial over handling of Jessely Beck sexual assault case. So, yeah, this poor girl, 19-year-old girl, joined the army, got sexually assaulted, and then took her own life. The guy that did it actually did the sexual assault, got caught and convicted. But then a couple other officers now are looking at a court-martial for just dealing with the whole thing poorly. horrible, isn't it? Millions to get £150 off energy bills for further 5 years. Thanks. £150 off energy bills a year. It's not that much. Especially if you've got a big household that costs more than like a small flat to heat. You know, who doesn't want £150 back, right? But still, it's not much. Be paying a few grand in energy bills with the best win in the world, if not a lot more. Fair few grand. So £150 off, it's like, you know. You've made it so that our energy bills are massive in all sorts of different ways. In loads and loads of different ways, energy, for lots and lots of different reasons, energy costs a lot in the UK. Grand reasons, world-spanning reasons. But still, our government is responsible for them being as high as they are. Again, I haven't got any time to go into all of that, but they are. So to give us a £150 rebate, or £150 off in some way, it's like, what an insult, really. It's a bit of an insult. Again, it's like a thief steals £100 off of you, and just before he runs away, he gives you £15 back and expects you to be happy. Expects you to walk away whistling Dixie because you got £15 back. No, no, no. I'm still extremely annoyed and bitter and... there you go. The government think we're like little children, like it's pocket money. Like, go off and buy an ice cream now, little one. Syria's defiant Kurds vow to, quote, fight until last breath, quote, despite government push. So, yeah, there is all sorts of ongoing stuff going on in Syria. I mean, that's another thing that our mainstream media very rarely talk about these days is Syria. Don't they? Very rarely. After the fall of Assad the Younger, and the mostly complete destruction of ISIS in Syria, and that new fella got in, can't even remember his name. Since then, it's sort of dropped off the radar as far as mainstream media is concerned. But in fact, it is still a pretty volatile situation there. Well, there you go. The Kurds, the Kurdish faction in Syria, vowed to fight until the last breath. That part of the world, there's certain parts of the world, I've said this a number of times, I've said it loads of times on Epochs, certain places in the world where there's sort of been conflict on and off since the dawn of human civilization. That's one of the places in the world, the deserts of Syria, modern day Syria. All through the ancient world, I mean. And to this day, it's just volatile. Oh, here's an interesting, cool story. For me. Secret warehouse guards lost world of treasures found on HS2 route. Let's have a quick read of this. I think it's a little bit of a Friday white pill, a little bit of a Friday sort of nice, good story, I think. HS2, for anyone who might not know, no one in Britain wouldn't know, but people abroad watching. HS2 is a program to build a new, brand new high-speed rail line in Britain. So that involves digging up lots of stuff for miles and miles and miles on end, doing digging. And when that's happened, there are all sorts of archaeology has been found because Britain is an ancient landscape. And whenever you dig under the surface, you'll eventually find archaeological treasures. And so they found those here. So let's see. It's a treasures unearthed by hundreds of archaeologists so far during work on the controversial planned HS2 train line have been shown exclusively to the BBC. The 450,000 objects which are being held in a secret warehouse include a possible Roman gladiator's tag, a hand axe which may be more than 40,000 years old, and 19th century golden dentures. It is a, quote, unprecedented, quote, amount and array of items which will yield new insights into Britain's past, says the Centre for British Archaeology. Major building developments in the UK need land to be accessed by archaeologists as part of the planning process to protect heritage sites. Since 2019, around 1,000 archaeologists have been involved in 60 digs along the route HS2 is set to take between London and Birmingham. That's just between London and Birmingham bit of it as well. Anyway, I thought that was cool. That's interesting. Yeah, you dig under the surface and you find everything from Victorian stuff to Roman stuff to Neolithic stuff and everything in between. Cool. All right, let's see. The ITV, did they have. Yeah, they're talking about that many patients die in corridors in the NHS. Was there anything else? Oh, yeah, that Great Ormond Street guy. All right, let's move on. Sky News goes with the whiskey tariffs, visa-free travel. China and Britain, this is visa-free travel and cuts to whiskey tariffs. All right, let's have a look at the Daily Mail. I think they had a bunch of slop. Yeah, it's the MAGA Oscars, is it? Is it? Melania Trump stuns at her movie premiere alongside Donald in DC as they are joined by new cheerleader in chief Nicki Minaj. Are they? No further comment. It's just slop. I said I'd keep slop to a minimum on the Bo Show. I shall try to do so wherever possible. It can't be entirely avoided, like that headline, for example. Oh, some royal slop. Tiny bit of royal slop here for you. Andrew just disrespected 370 years of British military heroes. Does he not care? The story is, even in his exile and disgrace, the paparazzi still take pictures of him. So he hasn't gone anywhere or tried to do anything. He's just driving. He's driving somewhere, trying to keep himself to himself. Not that I've got any sympathy for him, but, you know, he's trying to keep himself to himself. And he's just wearing a jumper there. A sweater with the emblem of a military emblem. What is it? The Grenadier Guards? I think it's the Grenadier Guards. I mean, he used to be in the military. He flew helicopters in the Falklands, and of course, as a senior royal, is like given an honorary. I think he was like an honorary colonel or something. So he's been in the military, and as a senior royal, you're very, very closely linked to the military. So the idea that he might have an old Grenadier Guards jumper. And he wore it out. He wore it in his own car, and a paparazzi long view lens caught the image of it. And now he's disrespecting 370 years of the regiment. Again, I've got no sympathy for Andrew, but that's not fair, is it? That's not really fair. There you go. That's the story. That's a slop. That's the royal slop for you today. In the Express. All right, the Sun. Mayor Jammers, Burglary Hell, Prince Andrew, some weird-looking girl. Yeah, the rise of Flash Daddy girls, gangsters who hide drug empires behind tanning salons. Lucy Letby, AJ crying. The X-Files, the ultimate betrayal that ripped apart Love Island's Lucinda and Chloe as pals reveal devastating impact on Millie. Don't care. Wow, I don't care. Wow. The degree to which I don't care about that. I don't know any of those people's names. I don't know who they got to laugh, haven't you? You've got to laugh, haven't you? All right, the New York Slimes. Here's a proper story. Trump is expected to announce Kevin Warsh as new Federal Reserve Chair. Because Trump's had all sorts of run-ins with the current Federal Reserve Chair and doesn't like him. Thinks he should be lowering interest rates a lot faster than he is. So Trump's trying to sort of kick him upstairs, kick him aside, elbow him out, and get a new guy in. It's Kevin Warsh, or that looks like it's expected to be. Okay. Did Trump really give Nicki Minaj a $1 million gold card visa? Stop. Stop. All right. The Washington Post. Democrats and Trump strike government funding deal as shutdown looms. So, yeah, there's another sort of possible federal government shutdown. From what I understand, from everything I understand, which I have read a fair bit around it and followed shutdowns for years. It's been going on for years now, hasn't it? This one does seem to me, I've got to try not to be completely blinded by my sort of Republican leaning, but it does seem that it's largely the Democrats. Sort of making shutdowns happen at this point, this time round anyway. Like it's Schumer playing games. It's Chucky Boy. Old Chuck Schumer playing games, thinking that if he gets the he manipulates events so that the federal government shut down. They can just scream from the rafters that it's Trump's fault. Didn't really work that well last time. So it looks like they make a deal. They're making a deal. Well, that's what the headline is. They strike a deal to keep funding things, including Homeland Security. Yeah, the President and Senate Democrats say they have agreed a separate DHS, Department of Homeland Security, funding for a larger spending package after the killing of Alex Pretty. So even Chuck and the Republic, even the Democrats and Chuck are like, well, we'll give DHS more money, if anything. There you go. Interesting, isn't it? All right, hop across the old Pacific Ocean to Down Under. How good. Andrew Hastie bows out of Liberal leadership race. I must admit, I don't know Andrew Hastie. Maybe I've heard the name before, but I certainly don't know much about him in any real detail. But there you go, for your Aussie. That's breaking news for you. Valance speaks out after song tied to Pauline Hanson film pulled from Apple Music. Holly Valance, still gorgeous. Used to be in Neighbours. Had a big crush on Holly Valance back in the day. Who didn't? She's flawless. But look at this, the way this is framed. Holly Valance has broken her silence after a controversial song. I didn't know. What a scoop. Holly Valance has broken her silence over a nothing burger. All right. Family of four, including a pets, found dead in suspected murder-suicide. Ooh, sounds grisly. Sounds grisly. There wasn't much in Japan this morning. China actually are finally reporting that Starmer's even there. China and Britain agreed to develop long-term, consistent, comprehensive strategic partnership in Xi Starmer meeting. So it has at least permeated their state media organ that is actually even there. There you go. All right, times are starting to run out, so let's have a look at what the Ruskies, ye olde Ruskies, are talking about this morning. Europe grows critical of von der Leyen, says a senior Russian diplomat. Yeah, good, I hope so. Someone did, it might have been Lucas, somebody did a segment on the main podcast of Low Seas the other day, just looking at how von der Leyen is just happy to just basically open the borders, European borders, even more, even wider to Indians. Wonder what the average Bavarian, what the average Basque, what the average Ayatollah thinks about that. Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's what we really needed. Millions more Indians to lower wages, to put more pressure on everything from housing to health. Yeah, that's what we wanted. Cheers, von der Leyen. Cheers for that. That's what we really needed. Trump signs order allowing US to impose tariffs on countries supplying oil to Cuba. Yeah, I wanted to mention that earlier, actually. I think there was an article in the Slimes or the Post that I was going to say about. Yeah, Trump signed a bunch of things yesterday, I believe, slapping more tariffs on, sort of, I think with immediate effect, I think, on countries that buy or sell oil with Cuba or have any real, like, massive ties economically to Cuba. Now, that does make me think that, well, obviously, it's not an incredible insight, it does make anyone really think that Cuba's, like, not, is probably next on their, on, like, the Maduro list. Like, if they're going to pull on something else like Maduro, obviously Iran is its own thing and a whole different kettle of fish, but they're going to do something like what they did to Venezuela. Whether people have wondered whether sort of Colombia is next on that list, or stuff in Mexico, not doing a Maduro to the Mexican president, but, you know, just intervening, just doing special forces raids into Mexico or Colombia or Cuba. Cuba. That does suggest, doesn't it, that Cuba's next on the list for special attention from Rubio, Hegseth and Trump. I'd be slightly worried if I was in the ruler or in the ruling cabal in Cuba. There you go. All right. There's nothing really of massive interest in Germany, as usual, or in the German news, rather. Bild goes with loads of things. There's something about a mole, that moles like can help predict weather. Slop, isn't it? They nearly always have something about a car crash and the weather and things. Some boats were destroyed in like some sort of storm or something or other by accident. Accidentally, 20 small boats were broken. All right. The French. The French, for some reason, Le Monde this morning is talking all about Russia and Russian history. It's actually reasonably interesting. Their top story is Yuri Dmitriev, the Russian historian in prison for denouncing Kremlin, attempts to rewrite history. And the little blurb says, detained in a penal colony in Mordovia, the 70-year-old historian who specialises in the Stalin regime's crimes is one of Russia's oldest political prisoners. His crime? Refusing to accept historical falsifications that the Kremlin aims to impose on public opinion. Interesting. Proper story. A bit of real meat on that one, right? It's a bit better than three women that were on Love Island falling out with each other or something. Or Mayor Jammer's house getting burgled. A growing number of teenagers in Russia are being sentenced for terrorism. French researcher held in Russia freed in prisoner swap. Yeah, so for some reason, for whatever reason, the Le Monde took in all about Russia and Russian stuff today. All right, we've got less than 10 minutes left, although here at the Bow Show, we're not constrained to finish at the stroke of 9 a.m. Was there any particular space news? I think there was one story I saw that was reasonably interesting. China eyes space resources, space tourism, and on-orbit digital infrastructure. Yeah, the Chinese Space Agency is not a joke anymore. Like it used to be when I was younger, when I was growing up. NASA completely dominated everything. And beyond that, you know, like Baikonur, like the Russian program was not to be sniffed at, of course. Right? They had Mir and all the Soyuz, and they launched all the time and all sorts of stuff. It was, the Americans and the Russians absolutely dominated everything. And even like, 10 years ago, even 15 years ago, the Chinese space program was a little bit laughable. Like they'd have accidents more than once. Like they had some terrible disasters where rockets would blow up on the pad or blow up shortly after launch. And there's one where it landed on a town, a village, and killed loads of people, hundreds and hundreds of people. The Chinese program was not good. Well, now in 2026. It's fully, fully competitive. It's very, very good. They've got landers on the moon and all sorts of stuff. Send up rockets all the time, consistently. Consistently. So, yeah, now they're looking at... they're eyeing space resources, i.e., you know, doing mining on asteroids or the moon. And space tourism. I still do think, realistically, space tourism is a long way off. Well, you know, you could take Katy Perry up into low Earth orbit for a couple of minutes, but, you know, proper space, real decent space tourism, whatever that is in your mind, in your imagination, still think we're probably quite a long way from that, years and years. Okay, should we have a look at this day in history to finish the show, to finish the week? On January the 30th, this day in history, in 1661, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of the Commonwealth of England, is ritually executed after having been dead for 2 years. If anyone doesn't know that, funny little bit of history. Oliver Cromwell dies of natural causes. And then there's the restoration of the monarchy, right? King Charles II comes back and will restore the monarchy. And then they exhumed his body and then executed the body. Did they put his head on Traitor's Gate or put his head on Tower Hill, Tower Bridge, something or other? Yeah, as though he's, you know, he's a traitor to the crown. Interesting little note of history, isn't it? Okay, on this day in 1815, the burned US Library of Congress, Don't ask how that burnt down or who burnt that down. Let's move swiftly on from that. The Library of Congress, which burnt down somehow, is re-established with Thomas Jefferson's 6,500 volumes, his personal collection of books. Interesting, isn't it? On this day in 1889, Archduke Crown Prince Rudolf of Austria, the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, he would have been one of the most powerful men in the world, certainly in Europe, you know, like during or at least just after World War One, had he lived. On this day, though, in 1889, he was the heir to the Austro-Hungarian crown. He's found dead with his mistress, Baroness Mary Vesera, in Meierling, in an apparent suicide pact. That's an interesting little moment in time as well. What went on there exactly? What does it say? It says a suspected or an apparent suicide pact. Yeah, we don't really know what happened. Him and his mistress went to bed one evening, and in the next morning they're both shot dead. I mean, he obviously shot her and then he shot himself. It's not like someone broke in and murdered them. But like, why though? What was going on there? What exactly? Why was he so unhappy? Or what was, you know, the real details about all of that is very interesting. Because as I say, he would have been, that Archduke Crown Prince Rudolf, he would have been like in the top five most powerful men in Europe, right? It's like if Prince William today murdered Kate and then blew his own head off, you'd be like, what? That'd be massive, wouldn't it? It'd be a massive story. There you go. That happened on this day in 1889. Let's do one or two more real quick. Nearly 9 a.m. On this day in 1902, Britain and Japan signed a treaty after months of negotiating, after months of negotiating, should be a comma there, which commits each country to supporting an independent China and Korea, although it acknowledges Japan's special interest in Korea. Yeah, that's interesting. So that sets the tone for Imperial Japan having a half-decent navy, a competitive navy. Because in 1902, still the Royal Navy was all dominant, essentially. And the Japanese were like, we need to modernise as quickly as possible. We're just going to copy the British, how to build, design and build ships and how to run a navy. Everything navy related. We're just going to copy the Brits. And the Brits were like, yeah, okay, well, happy to, yeah. So yeah, that's that. Not long after, is it, the Japanese serve up the Russians a humiliating naval defeat or two. All right, on this day in 1933, President Paul von Hindenburg appoints Adolf Hitler as Reich Chancellor of Germany, who forms a government with Van Papen, Franz von Papen, on this day. On the same day, 1939, Hitler threatens Jews during his speech to the German Reichstag. On this day in 1948, Mahatma Gandhi is assassinated in the garden of the New Delhi home he is visiting by Hindu extremist Nathuram gods. I don't know how you pronounce that. I've never known how you pronounce that. But yeah, if anyone didn't know, Mahatma Gandhi didn't die peacefully in his bed. He was shot dead by Hindu nationalists. It's often the way, actually. Fairly often the way. Like with assassinations. The hardline version of your own side kill you. That's not uncommon. So the people that murdered Gandhi, he wasn't hardline enough Indian, Hindu nationalist type person. He wasn't enough for them. There you go. Often the way. It's the hard line on your own side. All right. Let's have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Rumble Rants. Yvonne626 says, you all got to... I can't read that one out. We've got to have some sort of screening process. Got to have some sort of screening process, really. Nearly read out something bad. Although the same person there said, this show screams sex. All right. GB Jim says, sat opposite a couple of Metro journalists on a long train journey years ago. Thick didn't begin to describe them. Oh, right. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, that makes sense to me. that rings true to me. I think the Metro is the worst of the rest. Okay. Rick TWGP says Frederick Paulus formally surrendered the northern pocket of the Stalingrad Kessel today in 1943. That's interesting. The southern Kessel cauldron, the southern bit of the Stalingrad pocket, held out until February the 3rd. Remember the brave men of the 6th Army. Interesting to remember them for... Yeah, okay. fascinating, the Battle of Stalingrad. Absolutely fascinating. Anthony Beaver on Stalingrad is very good. So, YouTube Super Chats. Midas Touch 2022 says, Bo, you're awesome, enough said. Thank you kindly. Mike DPU says, you should have some vaporwave in the background. What's that, Harry? Vaporwave in the background.
It's like synthwave, but cooler.
I'm interested in making the show cooler. I'll let you look into that. You're the producer.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke Stewart 6155 says, G'day, Bo. You know what happens with China with the amount of factory fires that have been happening and other issues that they've got. Who knows how long they can stay in the top four? Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some people think China is sort of like completely massively unified and it's like some perfect uniform thing. No, China is an amalgam of all different like peoples and regions and stuff. It's actually internally less coherent than Russia or the United States. That is true. And you can make the argument, Josh Firm of Lotus Eaters fame has made the argument a number of times that their economy, big as it is and still growing as fast as it is actually a little bit of a house of cards in various ways. So don't take it for granted. So good point. Don't take it for granted that China's like, there's nothing that can stop them from becoming the completely undisputed powerhouse of the world in every sense, that's just hard baked into history now. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Principled uncertainty says, why exactly am I meant to fear China? They don't need our land, resources, or population. America has never been our friend. Okay. Historically, America has been our friend in loads of different ways. Why are you supposed to fear China? Because they're communists. And if they had their way, they mean to spread communism to the whole world. That is what communism is. That the whole world moves towards socialism and then communism. That includes you, principled uncertainty. That's why. Okay. A name I can't really read out because it's got a swear word in it. Something. F Google 2. Let's say that. F Google 2. Did you have a nice breakfast? I haven't had any breakfast yet this morning. I've rarely actually eat breakfast. There's a scoop for anyone that watches the Bo Show. Breakfast with Bo. Bo himself almost certainly hasn't eaten breakfast. cup of tea. I have a couple of cup of teas. Maybe have a little snack mid-morning. I usually just get by on cups of tea until lunchtime. Mostly breakfast is just like ashes in my mouth. Sometimes I wake up ravenous, occasionally, and have to have some decent food for breakfast. But usually I don't. Usually it's just like, yeah. But that's just me. That's just me. So Jukes 149 says, remigration starts by stopping the money spending. Yep. I mean, not sure 100% what you mean there, although I also do get what you're saying, what you mean. And yeah. I think I understand. Principled Uncertainty again says, a teacher at my old grammar school got jailed for having the kind of special relationship QW have with America. This is Stockholm Syndrome. Don't agree with you. Okay. Fortean Barber says, if we get Jackie Chan in a deal, fine. If not, no. Right, yeah. We'll take Jackie Chan. We'll take Jackie Chan. not interested in anything else. All right. Luke Stewart 6155 says, I feel sorry for the heroic bus driver. Next time something like this happens, no one's going to help anyone else. Yeah, that's what it results in, doesn't it? And the biggest danger of China, especially when you get Chinese citizens, China loves to use them for espionage. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely right. Everything you said there is, yeah, is true. I agree with. Yeah. Okay. Marcos 6588 says, still shocked when Furious revealed to what degree China predates various Aussie markets in his debut Unpopular Opinions appearance. Furious is great. He's great. Yeah. I'm privileged to call him a friend of mine. We ought to keep uncovering this. Yeah, the way China screws around, plays games with Australia is mad, because obviously it's a lot closer, isn't it? Okay. Global Church History says, Happy Feast of King Charles the Martyr. Well, thank you. Yeah, interesting. Loafer Sheffield. Hello, Loafer. Follows me on Twitter. Good guy. Great guy. He says, Gandhi was succeeded by Mahatma Coates. Mahatma Coates. All right. Dad joke. There's always room for a dad joke, right? It's Friday. It's gone 9. We'll allow ourselves a dad joke. Okay. And then Marcus 588 finally says, the tangent yesterday about Justinian, Zeno and Leo was great. Thank you. We also love the epochs you did with Marcus from Maurice to 1204. Hope to see more air soon. Yeah, Byzantine history is fascinating, yeah. Even people that are big fans of Rome, ancient Rome, classical Rome, Western Rome, even those people often don't know a great deal about the Eastern Roman Empire and the Byzantine Empire, and certainly sort of the middle and late Byzantine Empire. Thank you for that. Marcus, again, Furious, same bloke. Very, very interesting Aussie dude. Do check that out. If you go to lotuseaters.com, for as little as £5 a month, become a member. And behind that paywall, among hundreds of hours of other content, you've got my show, Epochs, where I'm very close to 250th episode. Each one long form, each one over an hour. One or two might be slightly under an hour, but many of them are well over an hour. Some of them knocking 2 hours. So a few hundred hours of history-themed content, just straight-up history-themed content called Epochs, with me, talking about history. Everything from Göbekli Tepe to World War II. A lot of ancient history stuff. I mean, that is my original wheelhouse, is the ancient world. So consider checking that out. Okay, it is now 9:09 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Friday the 30th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. Do try and make the most of the day ahead, if you can. I know it's not always possible. It really isn't always possible, right? Quite often you have to spend your time doing something necessary but extremely boring. But if you can, carpe diem, seize the day, if you can. Try and make it count. You'll only have this day once. All right then, well, on that note, until Monday, take care.